Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The sweeter the juice, I say the darker the flesh, and the deeper the roots. I give my heart to my sister's own welfare, through podcasts.
Don't nobody else care.
To WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. You know, you get Creed at 5:30 and Tupac at 2:30 every single day. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. The Bedlam of October is back. Shop world-class diamonds to make her feel like a world champion every day at Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. This is the way the question is asked. Ike, is the Eagles offense currently good enough to win a Super Bowl, yes or no?
Well, no. That's an obvious answer. Why would you word the question that way?
Well, but I want to see what the answers were.
Well, what do you think the percentage is? It's an interesting answer, I think.
Really?
I don't want to guess the way that you would guess.
Yeah, it should be no, and I would go 75% no.
The funny part is it's no, but it's only 56%.
So it should be higher, yeah.
I mean, currently?
Yes, no way.
Currently?
Yeah, there's no way we can believe that this is the way to go.
No, and I think it'll get better.
How much better?
But my concern is it might not get enough better to get to where it needs to get to win the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Omar in Delaware. You're on WIP. What's up, Omar?
Happy Wednesday, Chief.
What's up, Omar?
Hey, man, I said, listen, as a diehard Eagles fan.
Hold on, Omar. Are you on speaker?
No, I'm actually on Bluetooth. Hold on.
You pick on the headset.
Oh, yeah. Fritz.
Well, he sounds like he's on a CB radio.
Sounds like he's eating his phone.
Yeah.
I'm back.
There you go. Hey. All right.
So the reason why we have so much consternation is that we remember 2 years ago with Brian Johnson and that offense and the eye test, the way we were barely winning.
Yeah.
Winning puts a nice salve on all scores, but we were barely winning. And the eye test showed that something was off with the offense. And so, as all Philadelphia fans, we suffer PTSD.
Yep.
So we see it, and it's like, yes, we're 4-0, and we love being 4-0. The main thing is the main thing. But we went in ugly, and we went in by the skin of our teeth, and the numbers don't lie. My concern is we found out at the end of 2 years ago that the head coach was getting heavily involved in the offense. And with our offensive coordinator having no head coach experience or no play-calling experience, I kind of feel like Sirianni is in the mix on this. What are your guys' thoughts?
Good point. I don't know how you – I don't put it this way. I don't know how he's not involved with the offense.
Well, and by the way, he was involved in the offense last year.
Yes.
I mean, because when we heard the story mm-hmm. about the offensive line going and getting the change, the conversation was with Nick.
Yeah.
So that conversation was with Nick. There's no way he's not calling plays, but there's no way that an offensive head coach is not involved in the offense on some level.
Yeah.
The concern here would be that because he is so close to Petullo, he is more involved, I guess.
But potentially.
I don't know that I wouldn't want him involved. I don't know. It's such a hard thing to figure. Is the two constants over the last few years are Nick and Jalen. Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult to figure out if they are simplifying things, because when you look, you know, you hear it over and over from guys that watch tape, from the experts we talk to, that they're not running very many different routes and that they're running a very, very simple
Everything's very, very simple. It's hard to discern whether that is because of Nick or because of Jalen or because of both of them. But when you have three different offensive coordinators, you have to look at the constants. And if you have one constant, right, it in terms of the offense, the two constants on the team mm-hmm. are Jalen and Nick Sirianni. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be.
But is it a good thing?
I don't know.
We're certainly not. The offense, see, here's the problem, Omar. You may be right, right? I'm not going to even say you're wrong. But I don't know if it's a negative. All I know is that the offense isn't producing like it should be. And I can't really figure out why that is and who's at fault, right? Like I think there is something to, because here's what I can't ignore, Spike and Omar. Here's what I can't ignore. I can't ignore what the offense looked like in 2022 with the same player. With Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown just got here. He got 1,500 yards receiving. Jalen had his best year as a player. The offense was explosive. They ran the ball with Miles Sanders. All I'm saying is that the players, here's ultimately what I'm saying. The offense was better when Shane Steichen was here as the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
All right, I tried to tap dance as much as I could. I couldn't get around it. That's the facts.
Well, and then
the
all you need
hasn't been as good since Shane Steichen left.
And then all you have to do is look at Indianapolis, who has
right.
They lost last week, has one of the best offenses in the NFL.
Yep.
With Daniel Jones, who, again, I'm not saying he's not Jalen, but I'm saying from a play style, they have a similar play style.
Oh yeah,
they both run
mobile. Yes,
neither of them throw the ball a lot.
Right, that's not their strength.
Yeah,
like I would say they're very similar.
Very similar players. Now Jalen has intangibles that I don't think Daniel Jones has,
right.
And
yes.
Maybe that'll prevent Daniel Jones from winning a Super Bowl at some point.
I just meant physically.
Physically,
they have a lot of the same traits.
Yes. So Omar, I guess the question is what Ike asked is it a bad thing if Nick who do you want involved?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know where to go from there because like Nick's not going anywhere and he's the head coach and Petullo's his guy, but there has to be something here, Omar, that is a block, is blockage for this offense. I don't know what it is. Now here's because of AJ and his tweet, Jalen has gotten a lot of defense of him this week. You can say justifiably so or what have you. But it doesn't mean I don't know if he's not throwing the ball on time the way it should be and where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know if the quarterback is playing a part into why this isn't operating. Here's what you do know, Omar. Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo had no problem acknowledging the frustrations of A.J. Brown and acknowledging that they know he's a big part of what they do. He's a primary option in the passing game. They want to get him more involved in the game. In other words, I don't hear coaches saying, you know what, we can't focus on this and that and the other. The offense, the ball goes where it needs to go. And they throw that in there as a caveat. But they make sure they acknowledge the importance of AJ in the offense and wanting him to be more involved and understanding his frustration. That is what I'm getting from the coaches. I'm getting that. Getting something different? What I'm hearing from Kevin Petullo.
No, they're basically
that's what I heard from Nick Sirianni.
They're basically saying we understand why he's frustrated. We got to get him more involved for us to be a good football team.
So what does that? And if they know this, and they know this every week, they've been trying to get A.J. the ball. So now you have to say to yourself, well, it's not as if they aren't trying to get him the ball. It's why can't he get the ball?
Right.
So then you have to ask, is it the quarterback?
Is it the quarterback, or is it the routes, or is it the...
Right.
Yes.
That's the other phase of it. Is A.J. not the player that he used to be? and I got to be honest with you, he looks the same to me.
Looks the same. He looked fine in the second half of the Rams.
Yeah, he never was a guy who was a blazer that ran past guys and all. He's the same guy that he's been that we saw in the second half of that game.
Yeah,
right. And as far as Saquon goes, I think that honestly boils down to the offensive line not doing a good enough job. Like Saquon may not be the same exact player he was a year ago, and I think we should all find that understandable after the amount of touches that he had, but he should be better than what he is and what we're seeing.
Yeah, for sure.
In other words, there should be more production out of a player that still has the same amount of ability that Saquon has.
I also think it's notable that he's facing eight-man boxes much more than he did last year, and the Eagles have not been able to exploit that. I mean, they, from a passing standpoint, they haven't been able to exploit it. They haven't given defenses a reason, enough of a reason consistently to not do that, you know? And it's a substantial difference between last year and this. Now, it's only four games, but it is a difference that they put a full year of tape on what they were doing last year. So if you take everything, because I don't think it's any one thing from the rushing game. If you take, all right, the passing game's has not been very good. That hurts. More eight-man boxes, that hurts. Offensive line, clearly just not as good. If Dickerson is struggling a little bit due to injury, and if Steen is not as good as Becton, which is probably
not. Listen, Lane has played 2.5 games.
Yes.
I mean, the best right tackle in football has not. He's been in and out because he's been banged up.
By the way, he was talking about retiring before the year. So how many times do you have to get hurt during a season before your head? I don't want to accuse Lane Johnson of not being into it in the same way he was, but once you start talking about retiring, it's in your brain all the time. So we just may not have the recipe to have a Saquon. Now, but I agree with you, 3.1 yards a carry is...
Yeah, you got to be better than that.
It has to be.
You don't go from 5.8 to 3.1. You at least give me 4.2 or something, 4.5.
Well, and the big difference is...
Give me 4.5 yards.
The big difference is he doesn't have a game. He may have a game this year with 17 rushes and 68 yards, but last year, one of those rushes would have gone for 52. And then all of a sudden, his 17 rushes for 50...
Looks different.
...goes to 17 rushes for 123 yards.
Yep.
And that's a different thing.
Yep.
You mentioned AJ, apparently, now I've not heard this yet, Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce on their podcast New Heights talked about the AJ Brown situation.
I thought you meant they had him on.
No.
We would have honestly just taken it live.
Yeah, what a win that would. We would have just played the whole podcast.
Okay. Yeah, nice little Taylor Swift interview, but this is a big get.
This is more important, yes.
Yeah. All right, here is what they had to say.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So a lot has been made about A.J. Brown struggling to get the ball. What can we do to get him the ball? Because he's a good player. He should be getting the ball. A lot of people are making out about this tweet that was cryptic in some ways. I mean, it's not really that cryptic if you're really about it.
It is what it is. You're 4-0, boss. Come on, man.
I don't think – this is where you and I disagree a little bit a couple weeks ago. I don't think it's unfathomable that a player of A.J. Brown's caliber, I think that he should be upset that he is not being utilized in this offense. I think that is a normal feeling, and I think he should feel comfortable explicitly saying that to the coaches and players within that locker room. I do.
It's frustrating for A.J. right now, clearly, because he's going to social media to let everybody know how frustrated he is. And where I show my frustration is when we're not rolling as an offense. And I think it's frustration. It's the desire to get it fixed.
Yep.
It's also really hard for me to get mad when we're winning. I think yeah. I don't find that energy or that feeling in me if we're winning, if we're having success, if we're putting up points, if we're winning football games. So I think the biggest thing for, you know, that desire to want to be a part of the game more, it just comes to practices. It comes to, you know, that relationship I got with the quarterback. I feel like whenever I was searching for more opportunities in a game, I would just, after every single rep in practice, after every single, you know, conversation in the meeting rooms about a certain play, I'd go up to Pat or go up to the coaches and make sure they know that I'm on the same page as them.
All right. So there's a lot there. Mm-hmm. More, I think more from Travis than from Jason. Yeah. So the first thing from Travis saying, as long as we're winning, that's very easy to say when you're 36, you're already guaranteed to be in the Hall of Fame. You've already won 3 Super Bowls.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, his legacy is cemented, Travis Kelce. Yeah. 27-year-old Travis Kelce may have felt a little bit different than 36-year-old Travis Kelce is my only point.
Sure. Now,
they are built differently, you know, from...
I was going to say, Travis... He sacrificed money to remain with a team that wins.
Right.
He took contracts that were team friendly to remain. Tyreek Hill left. Travis Kelce stayed. Travis Kelce's on his way to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So that's that's Travis Kelce saying the winning part of it satisfied me, even if I wasn't getting numbers. But you're right. You're older. It's easy to say that versus when you're in the prime of your career.
It's the last year of his career. Yeah. You know, probably for Travis Kelce.
I agree. Yeah.
So I think the more notable thing is what he said at the end there. And by the way, I'll remind you, A.J. Brown may talk today around 4:30 when the locker room opens. We will bring you what he said from LHR Parks as soon as that happens. Is he said in practice... After every rep, he would go and talk to his quarterback.
Yeah.
And I just go back to last year of the Brandon thing. And
oh, yeah.
Do we really believe that AJ is going up to Jalen after every rep and they're having productive conversations about how to get him the ball? And my guess, I don't know, but my guess would be probably not.
Doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it. So yeah, that would be the best.
I don't even see him talk on the sideline during games.
That would be the best way out of this. The best way out of this would be in practice every single day, Jalen and AJ figuring out, okay, oh, you want me to throw to you here, not right there. You want it to be in the not quite at the end of the route, but right here. That's where you, oh, when I do this, you should do that.
Right.
But if they are not having that consistent conversation, you know, about fixing it, then it will make it harder to fix.
Yeah, and you know where that comes from, Spike? You know, people talk about how close they should be as friends. I don't necessarily worry about that as much as I would worry about the mutual respect they should have for one another and the jobs that they're both trying to do, how great of players both of them are and what they mean to the team. So in other words, you guys may not be the best of friends off the field or what have you, but there should be the one common goal of, hey, I know how essential you are to our success. I know how essential I am to our success. We got to make sure we're on the same page so that we don't impact in a negative way the success of the team. And we're both at least clicking on the football level, that's going to be beneficial to everybody. Again, you don't have to be best friends, man. These guys don't have to be. That's not how professional sports work, where everybody loves each other and everybody's best friends. It's great when you do have guys that are close to one another, but it's usually not how it works. When you become a star athlete at the professional level, you usually have formed a circle around yourself that may not be as inclusive to everyone else. You got your own circle, like that helps keep you in your sort of bubble and be the best that you are. But there has to be a level of trust and respect for each other to be the best that you can be at your jobs, right? Like you guys still should have
working relationship.
Yeah, have a desire to want to be the best quarterback wide receiver duo.
Sure,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
I don't think Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin hung together off the field. We know what the hell Michael Irvin was doing off the field. That wasn't Troy Aikman.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But Mike got the damn ball.
He did. He did.
Troy made sure he got that ball to Mike.
And it worked.
Yes.
It worked. They won three Super Bowls. So, yeah, I was mentioning a potential trade thing here. Now, I've mentioned the Bengals in terms of Trey Hendrickson.
Okay.
Right? We all would trade for Trey Hendrickson. That is not a suggestion here.
Yes.
But what happened to the Bengals is they spent a bunch of money on this year's team, and Joe Burrow goes down. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a possibility that Joe Burrow returns toward the end of the season, by the way.
It'd be too late.
What if the Bengals called you, and we talked about this preseason, but now I'm talking to you about it midseason, and they offered you a second-round pick for Tanner McKee? Would you do it?
No.
You wouldn't trade Tanner McKee for a second-round pick?
No, why?
Well, before the year, you said you would.
I did.
You said you would trade Tanner McKee. I fought with you guys.
I did?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'd trade him for a second-round pick.
I would not.
I mean, not while we're still winning.
Yeah, I would not.
We got Sam Howell. I mean, we're fine.
No.
We got Sam Howell.
We're fine.
By the way,
it's a backup quarterback.
By the way,
unless Sam Howell's playing against the Eagles, I don't think Sam Howell's that good.
By the way, the Bengals might win four games. So that's really right. A first-round pick. So, of course, I'd trade a second-round pick for Tanner McKee.
You know why I wouldn't? With Jalen running as much as he has this year, Jalen's going to miss three games at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Jack, you know
the
what you're giving up?
Overrating of Tanner McKee you is know what just you're giving absurd.
First of all, bro, he's not overrated.
Nah, I think we're getting ridiculous around here.
That guy can sling it.
He can win 10 games with this team.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, most quarterbacks could.
Well,
215.
All I'm saying is, if we have a Super Bowl...
I don't even know why I said that.
Yeah.
If we have a Super Bowl season...
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's my bad.
A Super Bowl season can get derailed if your starting quarterback misses three or four games and you are not in good position to win the Super Bowl. So, no, I would not trade Tanner McKee to them.
I don't know why I said I would do that in the summertime. I don't know why.
Well, it was. You know what it was? It was after Tanner McKee played a good preseason game.
Oh, is that what it was?
I said I wouldn't even trade him for a first-round pick, and I would not. I wouldn't even trade him for a first-round pick.
Well, here's the thing... And you're right. When you're in the thick of this, if something were to happen to Jalen, I'm not going to feel good about Sam Howell going there to play. But if you put Tanner McKee in there, I watched Tanner McKee play in this offense. I saw what he's done.
Jack, and you know what you're giving up if that happens? Can you imagine the phone calls if Jalen got hurt and Tanner McKee went in there and put up?
And they're humming. AJ's smiling. AJ's thrilled.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, listen, you can all bury your head in the sand. Remember his face when Kenny Pickett was slinging it? I mean, I've never seen him so happy in my life.
AJ.
Come on, man.
215-592-9494.
Well, he likes to get the ball. He does. There's no question about that.
He has made no doubt, no bones about it. That. Yeah. Yoshi and Brewery Town, you're on WIP. What's up, Yoshi?
My man, Spike, Big Ike, Jackie, baby. What's popping? Happy Wednesday.
What up, Yoshi?
What up, baby? Hey, man, what's the name? I'm going to tell you right now. Soft spots, timing routes, curl hooks, digs, breaking routes, quick hitters. They're going to run the zone. That's what they better do. Smash, level, mesh concepts. That's what they better do. They're going to run the zone. They better They better go back to that Shane offense in 2022. I give you a prime example. What's the name? Detroit was giving us that zone look. What's the name? And daggone AJ was eating on them digs and them curl routes. That boy ain't lost his step. What's name? If that's what they gonna do, what's name? Do what he do best. When they do that, man, come on, man, they gotta get it right. And Kelsey said it. It's a let's not go back to 2022, Spike. Let's go back to yesterday when Yoshi said he gotta be a grown man and go talk to the people. Don't get mad and pout and read the book and quote the Bible. Go talk to Jalen. And call him some names in a nice way and tell him, dude, come on, man, hit me right here, bro. I got you. Want me to shut up? Throw me the ball over here. Like, come on, man. Gotta do what they gotta do. So, in a relationship, they ain't gotta be friends off the court. Snay, let me give you some people. Simon and Garfunkel, they won't cool outside. They had a great harmony. They won't cool outside. Sonny and Cher, they had a rocking marriage, but they were still great.
Well, they did. They did sleep together too, though.
That don't matter. Hall and Oates.
Hall and Oates hate each other. Yeah, but they broke up completely.
Gary Seinfeld and Larry David. They talked about they didn't have a good relationship, but they had one of the greatest sitcoms ever. And Ike, this is one for you.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. They ain't like each other. What's they? But on that court, they got chips, baby.
Yeah, but until they got broken up, what are we talking about?
Shut up.
It's just like have some examples and make people feel better.
God knows, man. That's why. And you know what? I'm going to set you up real quick. I'm not calling you if I get in a fight. So shut up. How about that?
Well, why? I'll be chirping from the background.
Are you going to have time to make a phone call if you're about to get in a fight?
Ooh, now that I said all that, let me touch on this before I go.
Okay.
Listen, man. When it comes to fantasy, it's the same way every year.
Oh, man.
I start off slow. I go on a little heater. Then I'm like the equalizers, what's name on the radio. I'm up and down. But I just keep working, and I make my way. I don't care if I made 19 daggone transactions. As of today, make it 23.
I like that you're active. I love the fact that you're active. I like that.
Yes, I'm going to put them ugly trades out there.
You're like Maury. You're the calling around the league with dumb trade offers, hoping you get one dummy.
I look at it, and I'll be tickled. I'll be like, I'll give you daggone Tillman for daggone McCaffrey. I quit. Hey, you'll never know at all if you don't make the call. How about that? Hey, Reese, I don't care. I'm going to keep sending trades. I'm going to ask you for some of those guys you still got that ain't on the injury side yet, chink. That's going to get hurt. Your whole team about to be on IR. Oh. You can't keep nobody healthy.
Wow.
Wow. I love y'all.
All right.
They're really starting to go after Ike Reese now.
No, that was Spike.
Yeah, that was me. I'm the team with everybody on IR.
Oh, I thought, yeah.
I'm just on 4.
Yeah.
He's just bad.
Yeah, you guys don't even care about my squad.
No. Yeah, well. It's tough when you're 3-1.
Oh, luckiest 3-1 in fantasy football history.
I believe the record's 3-1. The most important stat's 3-1. You can have all your little most points in the league.
Yeah. All right. 215.
We trade the most points in the league for 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you?
No.
Boy, I mean, he's 2-2.
Yeah, I am 2-2. But my team's dead. Yeah, my team's dead.
Yeah. We'll see how good of a manager you really are.
Well, there's nothing I can do.
Well, and the bye week start. This is where the brain kicks in.
Oh.
The bye weeks start this week. So, yeah, there'll be some guys that aren't playing. See how you maneuver your roster now.
This is when you separate the men from the boys.
Spoken like a true 0-4.
The bye week's going to save him. He's going to be like the 24 Eagles.
Yeah.
My last straw. Bro.
Yeah, the ball.
I got nothing else to pull.
215-592-9494.
Whacking that thing.
All right. Coming up next, Larry Anderson joins us to preview the
LA
Phillies playoffs, which begin Saturday. By the way, the Rally for Red October is on Friday. We will be at Stateside Live there in the Philly Sports Complex. What is Stateside Live? It is the old Xfinity Live is now Stateside Live. Midday Show will be there. We will be there. John Middleton will join us live at Stateside Live at 3 o'clock. Tons of Phillies guests all day long. Hope to see you there. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.